Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crimes, Killers, Cults, and Beer 100th episode extravaganza.
Raise them up, 100th episode, woo! Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yay.
Had to do that. 100th episode, everybody.
Does that mean we're 100 years old? Yeah, get off my lawn.
100 weeks as a podcast. 100. Damn. It's kind of a milestone.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't do any fanfare for episode 50. Episode 50 was an April Fool's Day joke.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, welcome to Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Paul.
We're the only true crime comedy podcast that has the word beer in the title, where the two hosts don't drink.
Definitely crazy cases.
If you haven't figured it out by now, you know, maybe you're not on social when I made the announcement. I quit drinking. The BTK part one was the first episode that I had ever done sober. And every episode since then has been done sober. And, you know, I like the results. Seem a little more focused. You know, I feel a lot better. You know, there's no way in hell I could have done 3 episodes in one day drinking.
Oh.
Even yeah. 2 was bad. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons leading up to why I made that decision and everything. But I made New Year's Eve was the last time I had a drink, and, you know, made a New Year's resolution, and this is the first time I've ever stuck to it. As we record this, it is February 4th, and when you hear this, it'll be 5 weeks later.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, so. Yeah. Boom.
So yeah, we're recording far ahead, because if you remember from one of our previous episodes, Paul's National Guardsman and is going on a long deployment. So we stockpiled episodes so we could bring you fresh content every week in his absence.
Yes.
And maybe 5 weeks ago would have been the time to clarify all that instead of now, 1 week before you come back.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like, he's gone. Oh, he's back. Hey, here, there he is.
It seems like you never left, Paul.
I don't tell you, man. It's almost like the military knows these like time warps and these wormholes. And I just went to a Stargate.
Oh, cool.
I'll be back. I'm back.
Did you see Richard Dean Anderson?
No.
He's
Must be on another project, but that, I missed that show. I used to watch
it. Yeah,
show.
It was good. I've seen all three of them. Yeah. They're really good. They and they killed Universe way too early. They left it on one of the, they left it on a hell of a cliffhanger.
Oh.
Which pissed me off. But I've seen every single episode of all three of those series.
Yeah, those are cool.
Good stuff. But anyway, let's get going. Let's get culty.
Culty.
Because of my background in rock and heavy metal music and, well, and cults, you might be wondering why we haven't covered this particular cult until now. Or maybe you didn't. I don't know. In fact, you probably didn't wonder that, but I'm just saying. The Source Family was a California hippie cult in the 60s and into the 70s, but this one had a band, and its music is actually critically acclaimed by musicians, and you know, even still today, and although I don't know why. But what's not to like? Imagine you and your significant other just had a nice romantic candlelight dinner. Maybe you've been together a long time, or maybe it's a new flame. Either way, you go back home and you have a couple drinks on the sofa. Love is in the air, and you lean in just for a quick kiss. That becomes a deep, passionate kiss. Before too long, you're heading to the bedroom. You get into bed, and passionate kisses and heavy petting are driving you crazy. Finally, you say, "Hey, we need some mood music. Alexa, play Penetration by Yahoo 13. And this is what she plays. Roll it.
Let's see.
"5 minutes later.
I'm in the mood now. Are you?
Yeah, that was awkward.
I don't know if my mic picked it up. It probably did, but my Alexa picked, you know, I couldn't find the listing you were looking for. I heard it. So if yours did, which I hope it did.
Yeah, right.
I really hope that triggered Alexa's all over the place.
But that's why I don't have one anymore. I even turned off Siri.
If I heard it with my headphones on, with that music, playing in my headphones, the microphone picked it up. I'm sure of it. It's in the other room.
It'd be interesting if it synced together too. That way you can hear like an echo. Dolby surround sound THX.
Oh boy. So noteworthy musicians cite their music and other things as inspiration. For example, Sean Ono Lennon, son of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Why wasn't Yoko Ono a singer for this band?
Right.
She would have fit in.
Yeah. That'd be perfect.
Yeah. But you know, he used their look and attitude as inspiration for one of his songs. And The Source had a restaurant that was featured in Woody Allen's 1977 movie Annie Hall. Said restaurant would have such notable clientele as John Lennon, Marlon Brando, and others. Sources for this episode are The Source Family documentary on Amazon and FatherYo.org, New York Post, a blog from a survivor called Life in the Source Family by Laura Guerin. And that is a very interesting read. This part comes directly from FatherYod.org. The website is still up, although it was made in 2002, specifically launched February 20th, 2002 at 10:02 p.m. And it looks like it was never updated, although it's not bad looking and easy to navigate for a site from that era of the internet. So take it, Paul.
Ah, the Sorth family was founded by Yahowah in 1971. He was born James E. Baker, and after an exhaustive search and arduous work on himself, became one of the very few to ever attain God consciousness while still in an earthly body. On this site, you will find a short overview of his story, the story of Jim Baker, and the evolution of Father Yod and the Yahuwah. Yeah, Father Yod. Yeah, and the Yahuwah. Sounds like Indian. Hmm. And his spiritual family. The Source family, who called him simply Father. There were about 100 of us who stayed with him constantly. For the last few years of his life.
You don't know what it's like to be me. Well, you do now. There are lots of other sites or lists on that website, and you could spend weeks on that site and still not get all the way through it. I spent a good time reading through some of the stuff on there. There's some wacky shit on there.
Oh, I bet.
It's a wacky case, too. Hmm. The source was started by Father Yod, born James Edward Baker, on July 4th, 1922. And he would die one of the more memorable deaths of cult leaders, but put a knife in that. Yod was extremely charismatic, and he was able to make people drop everything and follow him. Some people dropped everything within minutes of meeting him. Especially for the man, I mean, you can see why. Gorgeous women flocked to Yod, and you were given whatever you needed, and everybody seemed happy. Yod had lots of money, and unlike many cult leaders, he was more than happy to spread the wealth. For a while, it was basically a utopian society. The cult was based in Hollywood Hills and was based on the teaching of Yogi
Bahan.
At the age of Aquarius. Yogi taught a variation of Kundalini yoga, and he also taught that his teachings melded in with the Western astrology, and he was leading his followers into the Aquarian age. You know, it was a reversal of Christian dogma. In the Aquarian age, you met God and then believed, rather than believing and then meeting God after death. Yogi was also posthumously accused of sexual assault by many of his female followers. We might cover him at some point. Health food, mysticism, lots of drugs, and hedonism. And it was all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll mantra brought to life. And one of the first things to check off the checklist is erasure of identity. If you became a member, Father Yod would assign you a new name, something spiritual followed by the word Aquarian. For example, Octavius Aquarian, Harvest Moon Aquarian, Moon Unit Aquarian. Just kidding. Moon Unit was Frank Zappa's daughter, and that was her given name. But it fit.
Yeah.
But galaxy, gin, electricity. Hey, electricity, come here.
It's electric.
Boogie, woogie, woogie. Isis. All with the last name of Aquarian. So I think I would be Chucklehead Aquarian.
I don't know how to be. I'm already Aquarian. I'd just be Aquarian.
Oh. I'd be Virgo Aquarian.
Yeah.
I'm not a chucklehead. I'm just saying I would be called chucklehead because I like saying the word chucklehead so much.
There you go. I think I'd be A squared. I'd be A squared. A squared.
A squared Aquarian?
Yeah. I'm already Aquarian, but if my last name is Aquarian, I'm Aquarian. But I'm like, why? That's a tongue twister. I'd just say A squared. Yeah. I'm not Canadian. Hey.
Thanks. Speaking of Canadian, following this episode, we are going to Canada. We're going to do 4 to 6 weeks on Canadian cases, because we've only covered in 100 episodes, we've only covered one Canadian case, and that was Luca Magnotta way back in episode 2.
Ooh.
We've done 3 from Australia. We've done 3 from Scotland.
Oh,
but no Canada. In fact, you know, you would think that an American podcast, the second market, the second biggest market would be Canada.
Yeah.
Just because ours is not. The UK is our second biggest market, followed by Canada.
True.
So it could be because the Canadians probably think that we're, you know, shunning them or whatever. It's like, no, it just never came up. So, you know, we're gonna do 4 episodes total, although one of them is definitely going to be a 2-parter, and that's going to be the final one, which is Willie Picton. We're gonna end on that one, and we're not gonna do the Ant Hill Kids, even though that's a Canadian cult. I'm still not ready to do that one yet.
Yeah.
but yeah, you're going to get 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks of Canadian content in a row.
There we go. Yeah.
We got you, Canada.
Exactly. They're jealous. We don't want to leave them out. So they are our neighbors. So.
And it wasn't, you know, that wasn't by design. It just happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, Willie Picton, I knew about, but I've kind of always kept that one, you know, saving that one for later at some point, because he's a heavy hitter, you know, don't really, you know, like to focus on the lesser known ones and everything. BTK was done out of necessity. but the last one of the episodes on Canada will be Willie Picton. And cool. That will, like I said, that one will definitely be a 2-parter. I'm hoping it's not a 3-part, but it could be. So anyway, Canada, we got you.
We got you. Coming up.
But these weren't just hippie stoner, homeless hippie stoner. Homeless stoner hippies.
There you go.
Some were, you know, they had Harvard grads and businessmen as well. But they were hippies, but they weren't like homeless stoner hippies. And some of them were homeless stoner hippies looking for guidance, which Yod was more than happy to provide. So we're going back to the beginning when Jim Baker, and we'll just call him Yod throughout the episode, so people don't think we're talking about a scam artist televangelist. His father abandoned his mother when he was just a baby, you know, when he was just a little baby Yod.
Baby Yod. Yeah. Oh,
as a boy, Yod was taken in and mentored by a man named Paul Bragg. Paul Bragg was one of the first people to open health food stores back in the 30s and 40s. And Bragg was literally like a father to Yod. And I did not do that on purpose. Father to Yod, Father Yod. I didn't do that on purpose, I swear.
I am not your father.
Are you trying to kill me? Lakeland, Florida podcaster found dead in his studio after apparently drowning while recording a podcast episode. Yeah. Yod took the healthy lifestyle, working out, doing everything athletic that he could think of, to the point that at age 12, he was named America's Strongest Boy by a magazine. He was 6'4". He was an accomplished archer, a judo champion, long distance runner. He was a World War II veteran in the Pacific Theater, where he was a Marine. And he took out many enemy soldiers in hand-to-hand combat, not to mention the one that he shot. And he was awarded a Silver Star, and the ladies absolutely loved him. And I'm not sure all of that is true. Yeah. I'm just not sure how true it is. You know what I mean? It could have been, especially the World War II accolades. I mean, it could have, you know, I mean, I'm sure that he was a good soldier, you know, a good Marine, but, I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I mean, he did have the, you know, he did have medals and stuff that he had gotten during his time there. So maybe it is all true, but I'm just saying it just seems like a lot.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot, but yeah.
But you never know. You got to. He does. He did have a Silver Star. He really did. So.
Yeah.
He moved to L.A. in the '60s to pursue a career as a stuntman, but the Eastern mysticism thing intrigued him. Things like yoga, meditation, and health foods. He opened natural food restaurants in California in the '60s. One was called the Aware Inn, and this was one of the first of its kind to open up, and it was successful. There was also Discovery Inn in Topanga, California, the Old World restaurant, which became a chain. But old war habits die hard. I didn't do that on purpose either. Yod had a criminal history, and he had killed two people with his bare hands. One, in 1955, he killed somebody who attacked him with a knife. He was acquitted of that because of self-defense. Mm. In 1963, he got into a tussle with a television actress and her husband. The husband was a bar owner, and Yod killed him with two karate chops to the neck and shot him in the head for good measure. He did time for that, but I'm not sure why he got such a short sentence. I mean, that is verified. I got that from a news clipping. He also robbed a series of banks, which is how he got all the money to set up all these restaurants and later the stores. I mean, interesting guy to say the least. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, they could make a dark comedy about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just off of the stuff that we've got here. So Yod met a girl from France who was exploring, and her name was Dora. It was a different Dora.
Dora, explorer.
Yeah, this Dora was from, she came from France. She was a total hippie, and she introduced Yod to acid, speed, and weed, and he fell hard for her. He was 43 years old, and she was 19. He was rich and an alcoholic at the time and miserable, and Dora showed him the way. She took him to the hippie festivals and concerts, and he ate it up. And he would get amped on speed and not sleep for days. He started bleeding his restaurants dry of cash to buy drugs, not only for himself, but for all of his new hippie friends. It got to the point to where his investors ran him out and took over. Kind of like John Schneider.
Yeah.
Better drugs, better music, Papa Yod.
Oh, yeah.
So at rock bottom, Yod started thinking about how to pull himself back up by his bootstraps. In April of 1969, Yod opened the Source restaurant. It was on Sunset Boulevard. It was a vegetarian restaurant, and it became very successful. And Yod was back, baby!
Yeah.
It was one of the first health food restaurants in the country, and it was considered to be one of the most successful restaurants in the entire country per capita, bringing in $300,000 a month.
Whoa.
In mid to late 60s money.
Damn.
Movie stars frequented it as well. Goldie Hawn, Joni Mitchell, Steve McQueen. Those were just a small portion of Hollywood elite who were regulars there. Even John and Yoko showed up there from time to time. This just shows you the star power they had. One time the band Yes pulled up in five separate limos to eat there.
The band?
Yes.
Okay. The band ate there?
Yes. They ate there.
I always liked their song, The Wait.
Yes.
And the night they drove Old Dixie down?
They don't sing those songs.
Yes, they do.
No, All Good People, Roundabout.
Was the source a roundabout?
What?
The band, All the People Eating There, was the source on a roundabout?
No. Yes, the band, the eight there, sang roundabout.
You're not making sense. You said the band showed up in limos and ate there.
Yes.
But you said we're all good people eating on a roundabout.
Those are titles of two of the songs by the band.
No, those two songs were done by Yes.
That's what I've been trying to explain to you.
Oh, so the band called Yes showed up in limos and ate there, not the band called The Band.
Should I respond by saying yes, or should I just say correct?
Correct works. You didn't have to take me on the long distance roundabout.
You mean run around?
Run around. Roundabout. Still a circle.
Fine. Fine. Correct. Yes. Fine. Ah, God. Fine. Correct. Can we stop digressing and move on?
Yes.
Anyway. Third base. Anyway, it was the place to be. I'll spare you the restaurant's jingle, though. It's bad. Hmm. And no, it's not Michael Jackson's song bad. I was saying that for you there, Paul. But that restaurant was right in the middle of all the hippie counterculture that happened in the 60s in Los Angeles. Political tension, acid-baked hippies, you know the story. But by the 70s, these people were lost, and they were ripe for the picking by all these spiritual cults that popped up in California during that time. And the Source family is just one of many. But as I mentioned, lots of people flocked to the Source. One guy was in a band called the Fields, which was up and coming, and they had toured with the Doors and Led Zeppelin, and it looked like they were going to hit it big as well. This band member, later named Sunflower Aquarian, was burnt out on drugs, and he wanted to change. He wanted to focus on his spirituality and get healthy and clean, so he quit the band, and he went to go work at the Source restaurant. At this point, it's not even a cult yet, and people were flocking there to work for free in exchange for healthy food, let's be honest, and to get laid.
Yeah.
Either ugly people were denied access, or they just didn't come for whatever reason. I mean, seriously, go back and look at pictures from the Source. You will not see an ugly man or woman, other than Yod. You won't see an ugly man or woman in any of those pictures. They're all just gorgeous people. But don't think that Yod wasn't noticing everything that was happening and was taking notes. But now things start getting culty. It was a slow and steady burn to get to that point. And Yod, although still going by Jim Baker at that time, he was becoming seen as a guru. He had grown his hair long and his hair and beard long at that time. He looked like an American film depiction of Moses. he really did. These young people who looked up to him, and some even worshipped him, and he met a 19-year-old girl named Robin who fell deeply in love with him, although probably not Jim the man, more like Jim the charismatic guru. Robin was chronically very sick, and Yo put her on a good diet, and she wound up recovering completely. They were married in 1970 when she was 19 and he was 48. And she became later known as Mother Aum Aquarian.
Aum.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Aum.
Yeah.
But in the research, it was A-H-O-M. But you're probably right. It was probably pronounced Aum.
Aum. It's more of a sound than it is a something you just can't spell.
But it is there as ah-om.
Yeah.
Around that time, Yod met Yogi Bahan. Who I mentioned at the beginning. The yoga awareness guru. Yog totally fangirled over Yogi. And, you know, he had a big house in Hollywood Hills. He had a garage full of Rolls Royces. Jim had a spiritual awakening and he wanted to be Yogi. Yep. He mellowed out a lot and was kinder to people. He was to his followers emerging as a righteous guru, and they ate it up. And he had a picture of Yogi at the source on an altar that he had made over the fireplace, which was eventually removed, and a picture of Yod was put up in its place. He decided that he needed his own devout followers. He believed that Yogi wanted him to follow in his footsteps, and he never went back to Yogi after that revelation. He was transforming to Yogi after that revelation. He was transforming into the earthly spiritual leader, or cult leader. So Yod and his wife Aum began going through all sorts of religious and mystical teachings and cherry picking whatever they liked and piecing it together, like all cults do.
Yep.
The Age of Aquarius was just a portion of Yogi Bahan's doctrine, but they made it the centerpiece of theirs. And Yod had rolled out the Ten Commandments of the Age of Aquarius. Take it away, Paul.
Okay. One. Obey and live by the teachings of your earthly spiritual father. Two, love your earthly spiritual father more than yourself. Three, harm not one of your body parts by neglect, food, drink, or knife. Four, allow each vibration to complete its own cycle without interference. Five, possess nothing that you do not need and share all that you have. Six, the man and his woman are one. Let nothing separate them. Seven, surrender not your creative force.
Squander.
And lust. What's that? Oh, yeah, there we go. Seven.
Come on, I didn't stutter in my notes.
It's my turn. Squander not your creative force and lust, but come together only when the three vibrations of the physical, mental, and emotional are in harmony with spiritual love. Eight, each morning, join your vibration with the ascending currents of the universal life energy, using the method your earthly spiritual father has taught you. Nine, do every act energetically, intellectually, truthfully, and lovingly. And finally, 10. When these commandments are mastered, leave the house of your earthly spiritual father and do the work of your heavenly father.
Samuel L. Jackson. Say earthly spiritual father one more time.
M and Effa.
You motherfucker! I mean, that's what I was thinking when I was reading. I was just like, God, how many times can you say earthly spiritual father?
Yeah, right.
Write that
on the chalkboard 10 million times.
Yeah, right. You know, that's probably some of the punishment that he doled out to kids. Write earthly spiritual father on the chalkboard.
Yep.
Too bad it wasn't earthly spiritual papa. Then it could have been ESP for short.
Yeah.
But number five, I'm sure that everything somebody has when they join Yod, when they join, that Yod says that they don't need has to be surrendered to Yod. Just like, oh, that guitar, you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
That CPAP machine, you don't need that. I don't know if they had CPAP machines back then. If they did, they were probably 10 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. Looked like probably the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah. But, Yod would then sell it and then pocket the money. And one and two are obviously Yod wielding power. And as for number 10, I think he's either saying that once you die, you're still bound to the cult by continuing to serve. Or he's setting himself up with a screen in case somebody leaves so he can spin it. His brother Goldfish Aquarian has completed the commandments and is moving on to serve the Heavenly Father. Let us rejoice. And then there was much rejoicing. Yay! Or both. Who knows? Mm. We're still in 1970 and Jim still hasn't changed his name yet. He began having church services on Sunday mornings at the Source restaurant, and he would take out ads in the newspaper that read things like,
"Come upon my prophet, beloved ones. You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall lead you to me. A message from God. All confused, lost children of the new age. The law is the living word from the living God to living prophets for living men."
I have questions.
So do I.
I have questions. He wants you to come to his services, and he's telling people to come one, come all. And he says, "You shall hear the truth, and the truth will lead you to me." Is that a typo? Or is he not the one giving the sermon?
Yeah.
He says, "You shall hear the truth, and the truth will lead you to me." Sounds to me like somebody else is giving the sermon.
Sounds like it.
But either way, he's advertising that he's a god.
Yep. Now it shall start.
Yep. What are your questions?
He's confused and he's confusing people.
I don't think he's confused. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's just a con artist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's how it starts. I mean, selling everybody's goods and profiting off of it. Mm.
Well, let me just put a knife in that. Because, I mean, later on, we'll get there. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we're not going to come back to this, but it does kind of go full circle.
Mm-hmm.
So people would have spiritual experiences every week, and the numbers grew every week. And Yod preached that you could do anything you wanted in life as long as you were kind.
Hmm.
Dennis Rader would have loved this church.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was the nice guy. But it was around that time that Yod required everybody to wear white. But all of the men wore hats that looked somewhere in between a turban and a beanie cap, and then the white clothes later turned to robes, of course.
Mm.
Yod and his fathers would hit the streets and search for new fathers to join up, and it wouldn't be that uncommon to see a bunch of hippies walking around L.A. in the 70s preaching whatever the acid told them to. And These people are not unusual. They weren't dirty hippies, though. They were clean, and their clothes were snow white.
So that's what they were. Huh. Okay.
Right. It was then, in early 1971, that Jim and Robin became Father Yod and Mother Ohm. And you can see their point. Even a hippie stoner isn't going to drop everything unless it was acid and follow Jim the prophet. You know, Father Yod sounds much more prophety.
Yeah.
Most of the followers at that point were living in vans and cars or shacking up with whoever happened to have an apartment. Not a very glamorous existence. And I don't know how they managed to stay clean living like that.
Yeah.
But they did. Maybe they jumped into people's swimming pools late at night. And...
Yeah, probably. You got to pick a number at the DMV just to get into the shower.
You know, you're not far off. I'm not even kidding. You're not far off. So they rented an old mansion on a large piece of property that had once long belonged to a newspaper CEO, and they called it the Mother House, and they all crammed in. There's a faded black and white photo with a large group of them outside of it, outside in front of it. And on the second story, you see at least 20 of them hanging out the windows, and one is even standing on the ledge. Hmm. And they look like ghosts haunting an old creepy black house. I'll post a pic of it on the socials. Yeah. But regardless, they were home and they began taking Yod and Om as their mother and father in the literal sense.
Wow.
But they were all crammed into this mansion, you know, like hundreds of them and everything. That's why I said you weren't far off when you said take a number. the water bill was probably 10 times more than the property tax on that place. Hey, they're the reason why freaking LA has droughts all the time.
Yep.
They're the reason why the Los Angeles River is just like a little trickle of dirty water running down the thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wonder if the water level was up at that time. That's probably why it's so low now. It's like they used up all the water.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'll get. People say, oh, you're wasting water. Well, the water goes down the drain and it goes through the if it's in a septic tank, it gets absorbed back into the earth. And if it goes through a sewer system, it gets processed. But there's the same amount of water on the earth today as there was the day that the earth became.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how is anybody wasting water?
Exactly. And if it evaporates, it eventually comes back down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
unless people took like gallons of water up into space and dispersed them into space.
Yeah.
There's the exact same amount of water on Earth as there was the day the Earth became Earth. Uh-huh. And if I blew your mind with that, sorry, not sorry. You were able to come and go as you please. There were no strict draconian rules cutting you off from all of society. And at this point, Yo began searching his followers for musicians and purchasing instruments to bring in. The Source Family Band had begun. Noteworthy musicians and producers actually showed up just to jam. And before too long, recordings of their music, like that gem that we heard at the beginning, were being sold at the Source, although that recording didn't come later, until later.
Yeah.
That particular song. But those recordings that they did, that's like Holy Grail material to music collectors now.
Really?
Yeah. It's that revered, it's that rare and everything. It's like if a music collector gets their hand on that and everything, their collection just, you know, became a hell of a lot more legitimate. Like, yeah, oh, you've got a genuine Source? Holy crap.
I wonder if you can still find that on vinyl.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Vinyl.
I wonder if it's still out there, floating out there. Yeah, I'm sure people are going to start Googling it now.
Well, the collectors have it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any that's ever just like surfaced at a, you know, like somebody found it at a thrift shop or something like that.
Yeah.
Although, might want to start going to thrift shops in like Montana or something like that.
Yeah.
Not LA. Because you know everything's gone from there. But somewhere like in Montana or Wyoming where, you know, it just might, you know, it could have been sitting at a thrift shop for like years and years and years at the very back of the record rack.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That might be something that Mike from American Pickers might be, if he's listening, he's probably going to start looking for them all over the country.
If that's the truth, then we deserve a shout out on the show if he does.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
Damn right.
So Mike, if you're listening from American Pickers, keep your eyes open. Let us know.
Yep. Montana and Wyoming, and we'll throw Nebraska in there for good measure.
Yeah.
There was a rock photographer named Ron Raffaelli who was planning to shoot. He was planning a shoot where he needed Jesus's in his shoot. And his fiance went to the source because, you know, he had seen, or she had seen them. Oh, everybody had seen them around. It was like, oh, let's just get these people. They look like Jesus anyway. We wouldn't have to spend any money on costumes. So she asked for Jim Baker. You know, his crowd was full of Jesuses, you know, Jesus lookalikes. And, you know, and she joined the cult within minutes of meeting Yod. Ron wasn't having it. Yeah, he was shooting bands like Led Zeppelin, the Beach Boys, Rolling Stones, the Doors, etc. He was about as A-list as you can get for a photographer. So the couple split up, and his fiance, Isis Aquarian, became a lifelong follower, and to this day she's still, you know, one of them. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't, I can't remember. There were some that were on the documentary that I watched. There were some that still swore by it, you know, much like some of the people from Heaven's Gate that are still alive.
Yeah.
And there were others that were just like, I was such a fucking idiot. But Isis became the cult's historic. Yeah, okay, she's still one of the people that's drinking the Flavor Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she's still, you know, she was the historian, and she's still documenting everything, editing things to make them less offensive.
Yeah,
and she can, and that blogger I was showing you about at the beginning, she even calls ISIS out on that.
Mm.
So we'll get to that. I wrote these notes like 3 weeks ago, so it's not fresh on my mind. That's what sucks about stockpiling episodes. You don't remember things.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, you start losing details.
Yeah. These notes are already long enough. I want to...
Right.
Like, if I put together notes like a week before we record it, then little extras, little asides are still going to be fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to put them in there. But
yep. 7,023 words.
Yeah.
That's a chapter.
But Rod later said that all the Aquarians seemed robotic, as if somebody was pulling the strings, and he was not wrong. Isis became the cult's historian, documenting everything, and I already said that. Yod loved the idea of filming everything that he did. And, you know, somebody's just a little full of themselves. I mean, it's like Isis was basically like his own built-in paparazzi, except welcome and revered.
Yeah.
That's why there's a lot of lots of video footage of happenings with the source. Lots of it. It's on YouTube. It's on the other websites and whatnot. I mean, there's even an up close and personal birth of a baby, and which we'll get to.
Wow.
One woman described her sister as becoming a slightly vacant hippie once she joined, and newspapers were questioning whether Yod was a con artist or a fraud, as well as labeling the Source family as a cult. And it was also being compared to the Manson family. And this woman was married, and her husband, she and her husband both joined the cult, and they liquidated a very large Victorian house full of priceless antiques, top of the line appliances of the day. You know, the green and orange refrigerators.
Yeah.
Three vehicles just liquidated all in a matter of days. The husband quit his lucrative job and his new job, washing dishes at the source for free in exchange for living with 200 people in an old rundown mansion. So if it looks like a cult.
Wow.
Yeah, Yod has some fucking serious game.
Yeah. He is saying the right thing.
Yep. This is when Yod renamed everybody. Large groups of followers went to the Social Security office and legally changed their names to first name, whatever Yod came up with, middle name, the, and last name, Aquarian.
Whoa.
Can you imagine working at the Social Security office that day?
Oh, man. Yeah. That would have threw up a red flag. Especially at the SS office. Good God.
Somebody should have called the police or the FBI, but this is also pre-Jonestown, and cults weren't really looked at as a threat, especially with all the other counterculture things happening at the time. To law enforcement at the time, these spiritual cults were just one of many products of the counterculture. Although Jim Jones was running People's Temple in Los Angeles at that exact same time. No, although nobody from the Social Security office called the police, the family of a 12-year-old girl did.
Ooh.
She had joined, and statutory rape laws were on the books at the time. And police showed up saying that she couldn't be there without her parents' permission. So Yod decided that any girl under 18 had to get married. Now, I don't know what the laws were then, but apparently it worked. And Yod paired every young girl with an older man in a big mass wedding. Yeah, you know, still, you can't get married without parental consent if you're underage.
Yeah.
So I don't see how, that's why I said I don't know what the laws were back then. I mean, it seems to me like a pretty convenient loophole for a pedophile.
Yep. This is still back. This is mid-70s, early mid-70s.
Yeah, this is early 70s. No, this is, we're still in the 60s at this point.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, oh, well, I like this 14-year-old. She likes me. Let's just get married. That doesn't seem right to me.
No.
But that's what was in the documentary.
Wow. Unless he got to the parents and convinced the parents, I don't know.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Especially not the parents that we were just talking about this particular 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all singing and dancing and love. Yod had a very attractive group of followers, but he wanted to keep it that way. So he had a strict exercise regimen put together. Every morning up at 4 a.m., they would all have to go stand in the pool, even if it was super cold. Push-ups on their fingertips, pull-ups, just all manner of exercises done to excess.
Eat.
For example, you can find all of these on his website, and this is the pre-exercise routine. Take it, Paul. Maybe this will help you get in the right mindset for your deployment.
Not on my fingertips. Well, first one. As you awaken, exhale. Yahweh. For your first breath. Two. After exhaling, say either aloud to yourself, be still and know that I am God. Three, dip into Mother Ocean to rinse your body of all sleep and negativity. Four, follow the physical exercise program every morning. Five, do the star exercise to tune yourself into the universal life energy currents of the morning. Six, practice the pineal wave to eliminate any trace of negativity from within. Seven, take a cold shower to clean and rinse your body. Eight, instruct your
Tahuti.
Tahuti water and coffee or tea. 9, lose yourself to find yourself. Huh? And finally, 10, use the power of silence. It is the golden key of love and wisdom.
Let's go back to 99. Damn it, I lost myself.
Yeah.
Oh, there I am, man. I just lost myself and found myself. I'm here. I'm right here. Where did I go? Wait, I lost myself again. Damn it.
Where did I go? Where'd I go?
Oh, man. Oh. There I am.
That's where you have to start putting. Yeah.
where am I, man? I'm so confused.
I just say you have to keep putting mirrors on every wall just so you don't lose yourself. Where am I? There I am. What's oh, there real? I am too. Oh, I am there too. Oh, there,
the,
here I am.
The mirror isn't real, man.
What if you don't see yourself?
What if you don't see yourself? Vampires do come into the mix later.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, you're not far off. Apparently the word instruct in all of these means use.
Yeah.
Because that comes up later. And that's when I figured it out. But
Oh. He
was still Yod at this point. And it got changed to Yahoah later on. And Mother Ocean was a swimming pool.
Mother Ocean.
And number 10 sounds like he's literally treating them like children in the biblical sense of seen and not heard. Use the power of silence. It's the golden key of love and wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So all of this before breakfast. Breakfast consisted of raw food, had to be eaten within 15 minutes of being cut, or the life force had been drained from it.
Yeah, makes a little sense.
But wouldn't that happen the moment the fruit or vegetable was picked from the tree?
Straight from the garden.
But after your raw food, everybody was required to take a six-second hit of marijuana.
Whoa.
It wasn't pot, according to Yod. It was the sacred herb, man.
Yeah, man.
You were to take a hit and say Yahoah as you exhaled. It's the stoner communion, man. Yahoah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try that with a vape. Hold on. Oh, I got a head rush.
Oh, boy.
Yahoah! I should have backed the wattage down on that before I tried to take a six-second hit. Oh, man. Damn, I got a head rush.
Woo!
That was fun. See what I put myself through for you listeners?
Yeah, right? Oh, man.
That wasn't a very original thing, but you know, none of this stuff is his. Had to wipe my eye off there. Second. That wasn't fake. I fucked myself up there. He had, like every cult leader before and after him, put together his own religion out of his own favorite parts of others. There were other steps in this ritual, and I'm going to spare Paul from reading them. One says you should never speak or react to a situation. You just say Yahoah 3 times before reacting.
Mm.
How's that going to work if you get pulled over for speeding?
Yahuwah, Yahuwah, Yahuwah. Cop's going to look at you like,
I need you to step out of the car, please.
No, it was the sacred herb, man.
He would also lead an ever-changing meditation routine that looks ridiculous, and he would spout out philosophical nonsense, kind of like Manson. Mm. Wouldn't be long before the chosen people aspect came into his doctrine. Yod's followers and only Yod's followers were the chosen to usher in the age of Aquarius. And these people were the saints and sages of the new age.
Mm.
On April 7th, 1972, the first child born into the cult was born to one of the child brides from earlier. The girl had been in labor for 22 hours and something was wrong. When the baby was finally pushed out, the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck and it was stillborn. Yod picked up the baby and he prayed.
My God, if you let this child live, I will never speak anything but the word of God so long as I live.
The baby came back to life, and within a week, Yod was dead because he had broke his deal with God. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
No. But do put a knife in that. Yod performed CPR on the baby, and moments later, he came back to life. And there's video of all of this, like I said earlier. Yod reached into his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper with the word Solomon written on it. And he named this baby Solomon right there on the spot, the God of the sun. And there was nothing wrong with the baby.
Wow.
It was basic CPR, but to everybody in that room, Yod had just performed a miracle.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I didn't expect to see in this episode was something that another cult that we did covered. Sure, all cults pulls from others, but this is something stupid. And I pictured Yod as being one of the more intelligent cult leaders than this guy in particular. In episode 22, we covered Dwight York and the Nuwabian Nation cult. It was a pretty good episode. But York would literally change his appearance to suit whatever he believed at the time. Or whatever he believed he was at the time. He was an alien. He was an Egyptian. He was even a cowboy at one point, and he was black. There's pictures of him and his cult leaders, you know, walking around in rural Georgia, all black people wearing like ridiculous, like Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future cowboy gear.
Whoa.
He would start studying different scholar types throughout history, and whatever he was reading at the time, that's what he would emulate, as well as how they dress. All the cultists did this too, and they would dress like Native Americans. There's freaking pictures of them, you know, walking around with, you know, like feathers in their hair, you know, like loincloths and stuff like that, and everything with bows and arrows and stuff. They would dress like Templars, and for that, they would have, you know, they would have like the robes and whatnot. And I mean, you know, lots of other things as well. It's just like, all right, today we're going to be pizza delivery men. So they would all be dressed up in Domino's outfits or something.
Oh, man.
Actually, I should say Papa John's, considering we brought old Papa John up earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But this came with some really alarming rituals, ritual magic to be more specific. And Yod would have them sit and stare at the sun with their eyes open until they were temporarily blinded.
Oh, my God.
stare at the moon until their eyes got cloudy. They got into astral projection and would hallucinate vampires and other things. Drugs are bad and good.
Okay.
I think that Yod and many of his followers' minds were totally fried at this point. But isn't he breaking his own third commandment? What does that say, Paul?
Number three. Harm not, one of your body parts by neglect, food, drink, or knife. Unless I say so.
Drugs aren't even mentioned.
Yeah.
And even if they were, he would have justified it somehow. Oh, wait. In another list of rules, it strictly forbids taking drugs and alcohol. But you can't convince me that they weren't taking drugs, although they swear up and down that they weren't. And there's video of these bizarre rituals. But it was real to the followers, you know, mass hysteria, groupthink, whatever you want to call it. It's like the speaking of tongues in churches and fundamentalist cults. As far as they're concerned, the Spirit of God is talking through them when in reality all they are is just talking gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
What is astral projection?
Leaving the body. It's a practice that I actually do it all the time. But
explain.
Yeah, it's basically when you leave your body. It's getting into an altered state of consciousness, and it's not the spirit leaving the body; it's your astral self. It's like the lower vibration of your spiritual self leaving the actual physical body. Also referred to, sometimes people kind of mix this up with remote viewing.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of like losing yourself and then finding yourself, or finding yourself by losing yourself?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. I was curious as to if something like happened to you in astral projection that like actually happens, or you're in your mind it happens or whatever, or is this more like speaking in tongues, mass hysteria type thing?
Yeah. Now like, a common form of astral projection is kind of like if you're in like an accident, and I had a motorcycle accident many years ago, back in 95. And before I realized it, I left my body just to save me from the physical pain of going through, falling off the bike, rolling on the road, doing all this stuff. I remember seeing myself outside of myself, seeing everything happening, time slowing down. And then I was back in my body.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And as the skeptic that you know I am, I'm not even saying that just to, you know, just to placate you or anything. That happened to me when I was a kid. And I've always wondered exactly how that happened, but you just explained it. So, okay, cool. I learned something today. Go ahead and plug your podcast, Paul. Seriously, go ahead.
So yeah, you can, go see the podcast on the YouTube channel or the Rumble channel. It's called The Seance. The sister company or the parent company is Conscious Radio Network, but the, just go to anywhere you listen to your podcast. It's called The Seance. And we talk about metaphysical, paranormal, and mysteries of mind, space, and time. And conspiracy.
You said conspiracy twice.
I know. Because it's conspiracy.
No, that's cool. I knew there would come a time when what the other stuff that you're into would manifest itself on this podcast, and I was waiting for it, and there it was.
There you go.
Now, I like I said, I'm a skeptic when it comes to that type of stuff. But nothing wrong with that.
No. I mean, for the history of mankind, there's always mystical stuff out there. There's always things that we cannot explain. There's always something that somebody will experience sometime in their lifetime that will defy what they were taught, what they were believed throughout their life, and go, whoa, what the hell was that?
So the seance, everybody.
The seance.
But after being in these trances for a long time, Yod would stop them and tell them to go into the halls of Amenti.
Amenti.
It was something that he made up. It was something that was at the center of the earth, and the cultists actually believed that they had gone there. So they went into white hot magma. Because that's what's at the center of the earth.
I don't know. It's always been a theory of hollow earth. So,
but next up was polygamy. Yay, polygamy. Yod decided that he had to have multiple wives. He actually asked his wife, Om, Robin, what she thought of it. You know, she was receptive. She was more than receptive. She was all for it. She loved the idea of sharing him with other women. Or maybe not. She told him that he was just a dirty old man on a lust trip. But that's a sixth commandment, right, Paul? What's number six?
Number six. The man and his woman are one. Let nothing separate them. Nothing.
Yep. Now we have hypocrisy. In addition to Om, he took 13 more wives, all ranging in ages that would fulfill different roles. They were all much younger than him, and some were even under 18. I think the oldest was mid-20s.
Wow.
But whatever their different roles were, they all had one role in common. And these women were excited and honored to become the wife of the earthly spiritual father. Now, remember what I said earlier about how everybody looked to Yod and Om as their literal parents?
Yeah.
Yod married his daughters. They were looking at him as their father in a literal sense. So therefore, based on his rules, he's marrying his daughters.
Wow.
But I guess that was like so 3 years ago, man, much like number six, that old outdated thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and Yod was dressing like Colonel Sanders at this point.
Did he have the bow tie? I don't see pictures of that little bow tie.
He didn't have a bow tie. He was wearing, it was like one of those bolo straps.
Yeah.
But one of the many reasons Yod gave for doing this is that he had been commanded by God to create a pure Aquarian race. And in order for him to do that, he would need to impregnate as many women as possible. And he did. Not just his new wives, but lots of others too. So now we're getting into hippie cult eugenics.
Yeah.
Some of the older men in the cult knew that this wasn't right. You know, and it was telling that he only picked much younger and more impressionable women to be his wives. And this crushed Robin. And he made one girl, Makushala, the Aquarian, his mother angel, favoring her over Robin. And he was very cruelly pushing Robin away. And at one time Robin called him honey, and he snapped back saying, I got 13 other wives now, and you're not allowed to call me honey anymore.
Wow.
And Robin actually deeply loved this chucklehead. And they had a baby girl named Tao, the Aquarian, in August of 1974, but she didn't even realize she was pregnant until after she had left him earlier that year. Some members did leave the source over the polygamist aspect of it, and some left for other reasons, which we'll get to. Specifically, a sexual perversion takes a very nasty escalation later in the story. Think musical chairs.
Yeah, musical chairs.
One thing that doesn't come up in the story a lot, if at all, is punishment. And although just being in the cult turns into punishment later on, but Laura Garon speaks of a wooden box outside in the heat that children were placed in if they did something wrong. It could be something as simple as crying. Like, that kid's crying. Put him in the box.
Jeez.
Jim Jones had boxes too in Jonestown. Now, this mansion that they were living in was literally just a couple streets away from where the Manson family had killed the LaBiancas just several years prior. So never mind the fact that 200 crazy hippies lived there, the neighbors were a little on edge about the cult living next door, even if they hadn't killed anybody.
Yeah, I'd be too. Jeez.
Yeah. So finally, under lots of pressure from the neighbors, the owner sold the house to somebody else, and the Source family was evicted. But where would they go? They rented the house that they named the Father House, because if you remember, the mansion was the Mother House.
Mm-hmm.
This house was just a simple two-story, three-bedroom house that they crammed 150 people into.
Dang. A lot. Oh.
That had to be absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
They built bunk beds all throughout the house, and there's zero privacy whatsoever. I can't imagine it was very, you know, I can't imagine hygiene was, you know, I mean, you think it was bad lining up at the mansion to take a shower? What about a three bathroom house?
You got it. Cause it almost similar to like living in a submarine, like literally it just, yeah.
Yuck. But Yod decided that the Source, At that time, Yod decided that the Source family band had to get serious. He took $30,000 and turned the two-car garage into the state-of-the-art recording studio. And I'm sure that their neighbors were thrilled. This house wasn't on a large piece of property like the mansion was, so the neighbors were much closer. They wouldn't just play in the studio. They'd move everything outside and put on concerts and play stuff like what we played at the beginning of the episode.
Mm.
Yod was a lot of things, but one thing he wasn't was a musician. But that didn't stop him. The band would be playing a song together, and Yod would just show up and just start beating on a drum completely offbeat or grab a microphone and start screaming and wailing, which, of course, ruined the vibe of what the real musicians were doing. And the band was called the Yehovah 13. Yehovah 13, whatever. They actually wrote 65 albums in the time that they were there. And like I was saying before, these albums are very rare, and they're the holy grail to music collectors.
Uh-huh.
Yod made his followers shop the record, shop the music to record labels, and they were denied every time. But that music is revered among musicians, and it's considered some of the greatest in psychedelic music of all time. And I don't get it, but whatever floats their boat. I personally wouldn't be able to get past Yod yelling, bada boom, bada boom. That's the lyrics to the songs. So they weren't going to get signed, so they started playing at high schools. And Yod would use the shows to try and recruit new members, and it worked. And before long, they played a huge show at the UCLA campus.
Aye.
And here's a little clip of that, of the band with Yod singing, if you want to call it that. Hit it. Number two.
My way. Not today. I'll be your shining knight in armor with his cursed land. Bam! The monster from the sea. Look out! Lightning! Yeah! In my hand! Things are worse than they may seem. Let's try my little skin. Yeah!
Wow.
Sounds like the drunk guy who gets up there and sings at an open mic session.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Yod then escalated a little bit further, and he began telling women who they should be with, and they obeyed. Commandment one, right? But dictating who should be with who is common in cults when the cult leaders aren't keeping all the women to themselves. Yod then became interested in sex magic, specifically the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. This was an occult set that was primarily interested in channeling sexual energy for magical purposes, to channel their consciousness and to become better beings. He came up with a bonding ceremony that everybody had to participate in, and this wasn't about lust or pleasure either. But according to Laura Guerin, this was basically sexual musical chairs with everybody participating. But this was before he had read Aleister Crowley's book on the subject. After he read it, he began using the Crowley ritual that involved a woman's menstrual blood and semen mixed together as part of the whole sex magic ritual, not to mention consuming menstrual blood. He called the whole process Qudosh. Q-U-D-O-S-H. And this has been scrubbed from their history documents and tapes by ISIS. And this wasn't in the documentary that I watched.
Yeah.
I found this on Laura Guerin's blog.
Wow.
This was all for control. Lots of people left as a result, and those who did participate were ashamed of what they had done, and they didn't talk about it outside of when it was happening. And Yod also insisted that no protection being used because protection wasn't natural. So there's no telling how many babies were born as a result and the women having no clue who the father was. But this was what Yod was mandating. And I guess the hepatitis outbreak was part of whatever grand plan Yod had.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to link Laura Guerin's blog in the notes as well as the official website. Her blog is interesting. I read every single entry that she had.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'd like to talk to her at some point.
I'd like to even have her on the show.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, have a special.
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. I was reading that and I respect the hell out of her. She got a lot of backlash, and you can understand why.
Yeah.
But this is no different than any other cult ripping marriages apart for control. Now, I mentioned that Robin had left Yod, and when she learned that she was pregnant, she had hoped that would snap Yod back to his senses. But right about that time, the cultists began calling Yod God. And this is when he became Yahowah. Although I'm going to keep calling him Yod.
Yeah.
He totally adopted the role. He was God. Not as far as the cultist was concerned. He was God as far as he was concerned.
Mm.
He was the light, the way, and he inherits all that the Father has. He's out of his damn mind.
Yeah. He is not the Alpha and the Omega.
No.
At all.
Some cult leaders don't believe their bullshit like Dwight York. Dwight York knew that he was completely full of shit. And more recently, the Twin Flames cult. Those two know that they're full of shit. But I believe at this point, Yod really did believe that he was God. Now, earlier, when he was just getting started, I don't think that he saw himself that way. I think that he saw himself just, let's just see what I can get away with.
Yeah.
I can have all of these women, blah, 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 and I can have all these people doing whatever I say. But later on, something happened in his brain, could probably having to do with drugs or whatever, or just power lust. He started believing the shit that he was spewing.
Mm-hmm.
And started building on it more and more and more. And that happens with just about every cult leader. Adding fuel to that fire, Yod had cultists believing that the authorities were oppressing and persecuting them. Yep. That's another every single cult thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. The health department, child protective services were onto them for 140 people crammed into a house, and that they were harboring runaways and doing who knows what with them. Lots of babies died in the house, according to Laura Guerin. They died of preventable things and were buried in the hills behind the house.
Damn.
One family needed medical attention for their 3-year-old son, and medicine was forbidden. And this part kind of hits home for me, because a lot of that shit happened.
Yeah.
Baby, there's lots of babies born in backyard or buried in backyards in Indiana. I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, medicine was forbidden, and Yod and the other cultists were dancing around the boy and chanting. And he bolted, you know, and forbidding the use of doctors and medicine resulting in the deaths of babies, kids, and adults from preventable illnesses or fixable injuries. And I know of another cult that did that. Just saying.
Yeah.
The Source family had now morphed into a doomsday cult, and Yod had them believing that Armageddon was coming soon. Between 1975 and 1976, there was going to be a nuclear war between three mighty nations, according to Yod, with, of course, only the Source family faithful surviving it. And total knee-jerk reaction made to show face, Yod sold the Source restaurant. It was still doing very well, and it was their only source of income, so they packed up and they left. The whole cult hopped on a plane, and they went somewhere where they thought that they would be welcomed with open arms because of their devotion to health foods and spirituality. They thought they were going to have a nice little commune with a health spa where the locals would come and everybody would be in harmony. And where did they go? Take a guess.
An island.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
More specifically, the island of Kauai. If you know anything about Hawaii, the people that live there outside of the tourist area
hate outsiders.
They don't like outsiders.
And they all come at once, like Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, and because of this, cult members became paranoid about the locals. And there are already two communes there, including the Hare Krishnas, as well as camps of hippies who are living on welfare. The locals definitely didn't want another cult. And the police were always keeping an eye on them and tailing them wherever they went on the island. No business there would hire anybody from the Source. And all the money that Yod had from selling restaurant, he blew it. They bought a big fishing boat, but nobody knew how to fish or man a boat. They bought an airplane to spot the fish from the sky, but nobody had a pilot's license or knew how to fly.
Man, talk about preparation. Jeez.
The locals were convinced that they were a Manson-type family, to which Yod did an interview with the local newspaper saying, "No, man, we're not Manson types." But the locals didn't buy it. And some locals were actually shooting into the commune. Yod tried to rally his cult to war. They had guns, but nobody knew how to use them. They're all hippies who hated guns and violence. Some of which were even draft dodgers.
Oh.
In the documentary, there's this survivor. He's just like, "They're wanting us to arm up." He's like, "I joined this cult to evade the draft because I didn't want to go fight."
Now you're going to have to fight.
The irony, man.
Yeah.
In 1975, Yod even started, In 1975, Yod even started questioning exactly what it was they were doing. They weren't moving forward as a family, but that didn't stop him from doing whatever it was he was doing, whether he knew what he was doing or not. That was a mouthful.
Ah.
But he took on more of a mystical mystery approach, not not seeing and not doing anything for hours or even days. He would just stand alone on a hill meditating for hours on end. And then he would say that, "I've taught you everything that there was to teach."
Mm-hmm. He was giving up.
So if that were the case, why was he keeping them there? What was number 10, Paul?
Number 10, when these commandments are mastered, leave the house of your family spiritual father and do the work of your heavenly father.
Right. But he had broken every one of his other commandments, so what's one more?
Yeah, why quit while you're ahead?
One morning he ordered everybody into meditation with magic mushrooms covered in source sauce, and I don't want to know what source sauce is.
Psilocybin and mayonnaise?
I don't know. He's been reading Aleister Crowley, remember that?
Yeah.
Source sauce. Damn, I should have done something with the old McDonald's jingle about, but instead of special sauce, called it source sauce. Damn it. Oh, well. But he took them on a walk, and he said that he wasn't God. He was just a man. He said he was dependent on the God, on the God to take care of all of them. But that didn't sit well with the cultists, and some refused to believe it. It was like, no, you are God, man. You're God. Others left. But the ones who stayed continued to live as they had been, although Yod had taken a step back at this point. And I don't think that he's like having some real revelation. It's just like, oh, I've been a total shithead. I think it's just, I'm just sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. August 25th, 1975, the meditation started as normal, but he seemed off. And he finished the sermon saying, "Let's go flying." And he asked one of the men if he had a kite big enough for him. He had obtained a hang glider, and he was going to fly off of one of the cliffs.
Oh.
Now, Yehoah was a lot of things, but one thing he wasn't was a hang glider. Nobody tried to stop him. If he wanted to do something, he did it. And they all got to the cliff, and the glider was there waiting for him. It was very windy that day. Too windy for hang gliding, in fact. And people were begging him not to go, but there was no stopping him, and off he went. There's pictures and video of this. Remember when I said to put a knife in that for his deal to God, bringing the baby back to life in exchange he would only preach the word of God?
Yeah.
Well, he obviously broke that vow. And he was doing a good job at first in the strong wind when all of a sudden the wind just stopped. It was perfectly still. Just like, it was just...
And then...
Yeah. Go crash down to the ground like Icarus after he flew too close to the sun. He crashed down, and when they got to him, he was alive, but he couldn't move. He said it was God's last lesson. And in another stroke of irony, he wanted to go to the hospital, but his faithful reminded him that doctors were against their beliefs and forbidden. I love that.
Oh,
to a doctor. No, no doctors. Nope, you can't go to the doctor. Fuck.
Oh, man.
Like I said, there's video of all of this. There's video of him. I think there's even video of him saying that he wanted to go to the doctor and them saying no. Because wow. Remember, ISIS was documenting everything.
Yep.
It's a damn shame that she had to go, you know, that she didn't come to her senses. Because imagine the freaking documentary that she could have made.
Yeah.
You know? But. Several hours later, he died on the floor of his house. And the followers prepared to take a huge memorial for him, and he was then taken away by ambulance. And followers say that the autopsy said that he had no broken bones. He just knew it was his time to go. Not sure if I believe that or not.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
What I found said he had no external injuries, but I don't see how he could have crashed like that with no broken bones or internal bleeding.
Yeah, they're especially internal bleeding. I mean, you'd really have some stuff messed up.
Yeah. And if there were no no broken bones, no internal injuries, then he wouldn't have died. It sounded like he was paralyzed, but he wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
So that's just them trying to, you know, continue the narrative about him being some sort of spiritual spaghetti man.
Yeah. His ascension.
Yeah. That's the word I was grasping at. But they had a 3-day vigil for him, and he was cremated, and his ashes were scattered on the beach. Well, much like if he had landed on rocks, his guts would have been.
Yeah.
But I know at this point he was admitting that he wasn't God, but I can't help myself to quote Captain James T. Kirk in Star Trek V. What does God need with a starship?
Yeah.
The night, this is true, this happened. The night his ashes were scattered, a new star, a nova, appeared in the night sky. And followers took that as Yahuwah going into the cosmos to watch over them. No, but that happened. It was wow. There was nothing about the cult and the news clipping, but the news clipping that I found documented the new star forming in the sky.
Yeah.
So
that could have been some interesting synchronicity, because by the time we saw it, it would have happened millions of years ago.
But still, just the fact that it happened then, you know, right then, it was just coincidence. But still, I'm going to say if I was in this cult and that happened, I don't, you know, if I was still brainwashed and everything, and he died in that same day, or the same day they scattered his ashes, a new star formed in the sky. That would just basically confirm everything that I believed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I would have fell for it. I've been like, oh, yeah.
There he is. I mean, it's just like, if that solidified it for some of them, I can't even blame them. I can't even blame them there, because that's just. But within 2 years, all the family especially after, remember, he did bring that baby back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's two miracles right there. So I could definitely see how that would have. Within 2 years, the family had all gone their separate ways, and some looked back and thought they were stupid for believing in the doctrine. Some are very much followers. Pop culture took its shot. For example, Saturday Night Live did a hilarious skit about white-robed hippies in their restaurant called the Natural Causes Restaurant. Oh, man. Oh, God. You could find, I'm sure that's on YouTube. They put a clip of it in the documentary, but it's just like, wow, you're going to sit right here. And that's, and that's exactly where you're supposed to be, was right here. Yeah. The clip of that was hilarious.
Is that the documentary that's like an hour and just short of an hour and 40 minutes?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Did I not cite the name of it at the beginning?
No, I got Google up on.
Videos,
and I see one there. It says source family SXSW full documentary YouTube.
Yeah, although I watched it on something else, but
cool.
I think it's the same one. It was about an hour and 45 minutes, if I remember correctly. Cool. But the Natural Causes Restaurant, that's great. I'm gonna find that skit.
Yeah.
I wish I had found it before and watched it, but I've been busy. But the remaining members of the Source Family Band, the Yehoah 13, reunited, and they've released albums and toured. And they even did a tour like last year.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's without Yehoah going, I'm your daddy, baby, boom, ba-ba, boom. You know. I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested. I'd be more interested to people watch at that concert. Like what type of people would show up at that show?
Oh, I know, yeah.
You'd have musicians. You would have musicians that were like into the psychedelic type of music for sure, but you'd also probably have cult types.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're not up there preaching the doctrine, they're just playing the music.
True, true.
In my research, I couldn't find anything definitively saying that Yod had sex with underage girls. But I think it's just known that they did, but it didn't get reported. Remember, he was never taken to court, and this wasn't a public discovery saying like Warren Jeffs. But he was being watched for harboring runaways, and there are some women that say that they did have that he did have sex with them, and that he even raped them. But these women never really went public. Anything, but a lot of them have talked to Laura Guerin. Well, some of them have, and Laura Guerin has also, you know, she's reached out to whoever will talk to her and everything. And she's also been threatened. She's also been threatened about doing this and everything. She's very critical about the edits that ISIS is making. She's very critical, you know, like all the references to child abuse, like for example, the boxes and stuff like that. Yeah. And you like Quadash, you know, Quadash is mentioned in ISIS's content, but now it doesn't say something about, you know, just just musical chair, you know, everybody fuck everybody orgy type thing.
Yeah.
Also, another thing in there is just like when you were doing this and everything, you weren't supposed to climax. But the only person who was exempt from that was Yod, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Because,
yeah. So it's just it. Yeah, I definitely want to get Laura Guerin on the show if we can. I don't know. I mean, she's, you know, I have something in common with her, and I'd like to, you know, I'd like to hear what she has to say. I'd just like to hear her talk, you know, uncensored, off the cuff. Well, her blog is uncensored. I mean, she doesn't pull any punches. Very interesting blog. Mm. I mean, it's like I said, I read everything that she had.
Yeah. It would be interesting to, you know, get a hold of her and bring her in and see if, you know, see what you'd like to share.
Yeah.
And, and anybody else out there that was part of it that is willing to come out and go, hey, yeah, this is my experience.
But one thing that we haven't done yet, I got an email from an old friend. Mm. Our buddy, and I don't think that you might not know, but I know you haven't listened to like all of our back catalog and everything. You know, I know you're a busy man, but there is you're familiar with the Norwegian black metal scene, right? All the people, the black metal bands that burned churches back in the 90s and all that stuff.
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, there is a rogue, I guess you could call him, musician in that genre over there in Norway. And he believes that you can accomplish everything you need to accomplish in black metal using a tambourine.
Hmm.
His name is Flaccid Gislas, and he is the Norwegian black metal tambourine man. And he's sent us some songs over the course of the show's existence. He's done, yeah, like he sent us his black metal tambourine version of Anarchy in the UK when we did the Sid and Nancy episode.
Yeah.
He's done, you know, I mean, nobody can play the tambourine like him. And he wrote a song about, he even sent us in a Carl Panzram diss track.
Wow.
When we used to do, well, I can't say used to do, but when we did like versus, like monster, like WWE match type promos and everything, putting one serial killer against another or whatever, he would provide the percussion for the ad that I made. And I would put guitar over it. All that's in some in the back catalog. But he sent us, when he heard that we were doing the Source Family, he sent me a song that he wrote about the Source Family. So I'm going to play that now. It's always good to hear from our buddy Flaccid Jizzless.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom, boom, bing. Earthly spiritual father married his daughter, blessed by the maker. Big, big, cupcake. Bada boom, bada bing, bing, boom. Bada boom, bada bing, bing, boom. I believe I can fly. I believe I want to die. Crash into Hawaii Bay. Cowboy, take me away. Bada bing, bada boom, bada boom, boom, bing. Bada boom, bada bing, bada bing, bing, boom.
Yeah. That might be my favorite. I don't know. It's going to be hard to top his version of Anarchy in the UK. That was, but that was good. That was good. Crashed into the bay. Cowboy, take me away.
Oh, man.
Oh, anyway. Oh, man. Thanks for listening. We appreciate the hell out of it. Yeah, check us out on our socials. Interact with us and everything. You know, we have the Crimes, Killers, Cults, and Beer Discussion Pub on Facebook now. That's a lot more. Yeah, that's where people can interact a lot more. We got a small handful of people there. And hopefully, you know, that will grow. Hopefully we can phase out the other Facebook page at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for now, yeah, it's there. Join that up. That's linked in the episodes now. So we're also on YouTube.
And on YouTube. That it is. And we can put, you know, all these little links and stuff like that of some of the, you know, some of the nuances and stuff that, you know, for each of our episodes and stuff, up on the discussion pub.
Oh yeah, I have been.
No.
You might want to let everybody know that you're going away for 6 weeks on there.
Yes. Yes. I'll put that up. And then by the time this airs, people are like, what, that already happened?
Yeah. I don't want to be 6 weeks ahead again. Maybe yep. Two. I don't want to be six. That was rough. And, you know, as we learned in things that won't be, that are getting cut out of this episode, you can lose some things.
Yeah.
So yeah. 2 weeks, fine. Six, mm-mm. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yes.
So anyway. Until next time. Wow, I just screwed up my exit. Until next time, later.
Later.